Welcome to the Eric in the Morning Podcast on 101.9 The Mix Chicago. All right, take it away, Eric.
So Julie says she was hoping y'all could help. She was walking into school. Fellow teachers told her to put the windshield wipers up, you know, in the air, not on the window, because they were expecting some ice. Came out of school. Several cars had done it. Rarely seen this happen before. Wondering, does it really help? Could a lot of snow or ice coming down actually damage the wipers if they are up and out? Whip, who works part-time on the weekends at AutoZone, has a theory that we're going to hear in just a second.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can compare it to these theories. You ready, Whip?
Yes.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. You do this?
Well, I've heard about it a lot. My dad always said that if you put them up, when you put them back down, when you get ready to leave, that they're not going to be like flat on your windshield anymore because it actually bends the cold bends them.
The cold bends them? Okay, that's
so
what
you when you put them back down, that they're not going to be flat on your windshield, so you're going to have to get new ones eventually anyhow.
So that's bad. So your dad says don't do it.
Don't do it.
All right. Dad says don't do it. Thank you, Kelly. Is that the what you'd heard over at AutoZone with?
I was thinking something along those lines, less specific. I was all just right. Thinking that probably there could be damage done if you allow it to sit there with the ice and snow buildup.
Hold that thought. Hi, Kyle.
Hi.
Hi. Well, what do you have to say about this?
Well, my husband is in the automotive business. He says the same thing. He says not to do it because if you let the windshield wiper flip back down real fast, you could shatter your windshield.
Whoa.
Hey.
I wonder if that's, you know, if that's really ever happened or if that's one of those things, you know, your dad or your car guy or whatever tells you, hey, if you do this, just let me tell you what's going to happen. But it's never happened, but it scares you into not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Whip, did you ever go with the potential shattered windshield?
No, that's much more severe. I was just thinking damage to the wiper itself.
And Kyle, you said your husband works in the auto industry?
Yeah.
Has he ever met Whip?
He has not.
Okay. I didn't know if you guys all know each other.
Yeah. I work over in the headlight section at AutoZone, and he's more in tires.
I didn't know if you were, if you guys, you know, had crossed paths ever. Hi there, Greg.
Hey there.
What do you think?
Yeah, if you leave your wipers down and it snows and ices, it can stick to the windshield. And when you pull them off and you turn it on, you could either burn out a motor or you could break your wipers. So, yes, it's good to leave them up all the time. And you just lay them down. You don't slam them down so a windshield would break. I never heard of that, but yeah.
That's the fear factor, the scare tactic, don't you think, Greg?
I do. And, yes, I have met Whip.
Have you? Oh. So was that, where was that, over in the oil section, the 10W30 section of AutoZone?
Actually, on the Santa Cruz a couple years ago.
Oh, look at that.
How you doing?
Yeah, there is your guy, Greg.
Nice to talk to you, Greg.
All of those, Whip, you're in agreement?
Oh, yeah. That sounds exactly right, what Greg says.
So do you recommend up, Whip, or do you recommend down?
I think that you can't go wrong with up. I think it sounds like the smart people do that.
Okay.
The car people.
I got the vibe you're supposed to leave them down. Did I hear that incorrectly? Violetta, what did you hear as someone who was only mildly interested in this conversation?
No, right. I love this conversation, actually.
Who was busy looking and seeing what the Kardashians put on their website during this?
No, I think that most of the calls said to leave them down.
Well, here's the thing, too. So my next-door neighbor, Mako, who I bring up from time to time, he's a guy who's like a guy's guy who knows about everything.
You need a doorknob fix, you go to Mako.
He's just the guy. He will come over and say, like, this is leaking or this. He's just that. And he'll fix it for you.
Right.
You know, and so in his driveway, I noticed that he had his windshield wipers up.
So what Mako does, we should all do in your mind.
I think that he knows his stuff. Yeah, like I said, he's got both a Porsche and a motorcycle.
Oh, wow. Can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Any chance you run into Mako today?
Probably. He likes to go outside and smoke in his driveway.
Okay, perfect. Okay. Perfect. Can you go bum one off him and ask him this?
Yeah. I don't think the wife lets him smoke in the house, she's wonderful, too. Yeah. They're all one. The whole family's great.
That's going to get cold on Super Bowl Sunday out there.
He's a tough guy. That's the thing about Mako.
If you get a chance today, could you ask Mako about the windshield wipers and see if you can follow up with Kyle and Greg and Kelly?
Totally.
If the Mixed Morning Mindbender and the Eric in the Morning List collided and had a one-night stand, hooked up, just a rando on Tinder... Like Mindbender's swiping and comes across the Eric in the Morning List and we could hook up in a bar. This is what would happen.
Okay.
Top 10 football flicks of all time, according to Redbox, here on Super Bowl week as we head into Super Bowl weekend. If you finish first, you win the prize. Let's see if you can get it right. Among the football movies you can't get enough of, Joseph.
The Longest Yard.
The Longest Yard. That's old school. Old school.
I think they remade it also.
Yeah, they did. They did. But the remake, not nearly as good as
the original.
Can't do it. Oh, my God. This is very important here in Chicago, and it's a very, very old movie, but you will cry, Brandon.
Yeah, Brian's Song.
Brian's Song.
Oh, my God. It is, you won't get over it.
You're familiar with Brian's Song, Violetta?
No.
I don't know if you could watch it. It's maybe the oldest movie ever made, but if you can watch it, you will cry.
I cry at every movie.
This one, you'll sob.
And they also remade that one, too, so maybe watch the less dated one.
Okay.
Again, we got to go to the original.
I agree with you, but, you know.
You keep pushing these knockoffs, the remake knockoffs.
I love the originals, but some people may not want to see something so old.
All right, according to Redbox, the top 10 football flicks, the top three, we have the top three on hold.
Awesome.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
And at number three, and number three on our list, just like Redbox, Julie, you say.
The Blind Side. Love that movie.
The Blind Side. A little Sandra Bullock in there. The Blind Side. Michael Orr is who it's about.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. In at number two, just like the Redbox list, Adam.
Remember the Titans.
That's not number one?
No. In at number one, the best football movie of all time, also will make you cry potentially. Tell 'em, Tina.
Rudy.
There it is.
Yeah.
Rudy. Particularly big around here, of course, with the Notre Dame tie-in.
Yeah.
Violetta's looking up Rudy. She's not familiar with Rudy.
Rudy the movie.
You've never heard of Rudy?
No.
Never heard of it?
No.
How much will she cry, Tina?
Oh, my gosh. So good. It's so much. She'll cry so much. It's totally about the underdog.
So much inspiration in that movie. So much. You know, my buddy Pepsi Keith went to Notre Dame, and he puts it on and sobs.
Yeah.
You know what? I think I did see this. I didn't know it was called Rudy.
Let me see Jason. Jason with the face tattoo. Can you spin that computer on? I'd like to see if he really looks like Harry Styles. So there's a guy in Tyrone, Pennsylvania, arrested for home invasion, a lot of other bad stuff. And everybody's like, oh, my God, he looks exactly like him.
He really does.
It's like the facial expression even.
312-233-1019. I'll be interested, Joe, to see if Violetta can pinpoint. You're always mistaken for.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I've always been mistaken for James Caan.
Do you know who James Caan is, Violetta?
James Caan. Like a senator?
No. Elf's dad.
That's right.
Elf's dad. Yes, I know him.
Elf's dad.
Just not by name.
Also in the aforementioned Brian Song movie.
There you go.
He's in that.
Yeah. You're often mistaken for who, Beth?
Celine Dion all the time.
Wow.
Celine Dion.
Wow.
Can I borrow some money?
Wow.
Can you belt anything out for us?
Wow. And do people say this to you wherever you go? Is it often you were saying?
Yeah, in airports. Downtown New York, throughout bars. I get it often in bars.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That is crazy.
I work that.
Thank you. 312-233-1019. You are often mistaken for who, PJ?
Ray Liotta.
Nice. Nice.
Tough guy.
Everybody's like, hey, you're the guy from the Chantix commercials.
No. The Goodfellas.
You want to go back to the good years.
Yeah.
Ray Liotta, the good years. That's right. Let me have it, Whip. Yeah, Ray loves you.
He and I are buddies.
There you go. You are often mistaken for who, Tracy?
Amy Schumer.
That's okay. Cool. Are you funny?
Yeah. I mean, I like to think so. But
yeah. I feel like I've got moments. Thank you for that. Often mistaken for who, Joshua?
Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr.
That's a good one.
All right. Yeah. You have to enjoy that, right?
It is. I actually was been cornered a few times back when we used to go out
right
at restaurants and stores and asked for me to sign autographs. And I'm like, I'm not who you think I am. And they look at me like, stop being a jerk.
Yeah. You're lying to us. Robert Downey Jr., the cleaned up years, not the breaking into people's homes and sleeping in bedrooms years.
Oh,
remember
my bad.
Those years? Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, this is really timely. Often mistaken for who, Tim?
Tom Brady.
Really?
Wow.
Yep, I swear I get it all the time.
And really? Do you think that that's a compliment?
Why wouldn't it be?
Well, I'm a Packers fan, so.
That's why.
Sore spot right
I'm
now.
I'm really sorry to hear both those things. Yeah, there he is. Tom Brady. You don't think that'd be a compliment?
Well, I didn't know what he thought. I wanted to know. Maybe is he married to a model as well?
Well, if you're a good-looking guy like Tim there, you look like Tom Brady, I think the odds are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's find out what everybody's talking about. It's 7 o'clock Tuesday morning on The Mix. Time to find out top three things trending on Twitter. You ready, Violetta?
Yes.
All right. In at number three.
Billie Eilish teases a new album with 16 new tracks, but she says there's no title yet, and she doesn't know when she's going to release it, but people are excited because it might be coming soon.
No title because she hasn't had a dark and gloomy day to name it.
Exactly.
You got to have a dark, gloomy day for Billie Eilish. Trending on Twitter, number two.
Girl Scout cookie season is here.
Right.
There is a new flavor to be excited about this year. It's called Toast Yay. It's a French toast flavored cookie.
Toast Yay?
Yeah.
More of a Samoa guy.
Really?
I love the Samoas.
Mm.
Are those Samoas?
And I don't like coconut.
I know, that's what I was going to say.
I don't like that, but it's
really
good.
Thin Mints all the way.
Yeah, that's the old standard, the classic. Mm-hmm. Whip.
What are the ones with the cookie on the bottom, peanut butter on the top, and like chocolate covered?
Oh, Tagalongs.
Okay, those are mine.
Oh, you know your Girl Scout cookies.
I've had a couple. And trending on Twitter, number one.
Harry Styles still trending after his birthday yesterday. The heartthrob turned 27 and hashtag happy birthday king still on the top of the list.
Is he still with Olivia Wilde?
Yes, he is.
I haven't had an update on that?
No, I tried to see if they celebrated anything together, but everything's just saying all the love and support everybody's sending him on his birthday instead of what his actual plans were.
You know, if you really think about it, everything on the internet is mean.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it, yeah.
I mean, Instagram's mean, Facebook's mean, Twitter is where we are really mean.
Yeah.
But everybody seems to be pretty nice to Harry all the time.
They really are, other than there was a little bit of controversy with him wearing the dress on the front of that magazine.
And a little bit of controversy for him dating Olivia Wilde.
Yep.
Yeah. But other than that, he's in the clear. Anybody listening who has a significant other who is at least 2 points higher than them? You're a 6, they're an 8. You're a 7, they're a 9. You're an 8, they're a 10, whatever it might be. A couple of questions for you. Hang on, Corey. We're going to get to you in a second. Hi there, John.
Hey, how are you?
Great. Thanks for joining us. You have a significant other who's at least 2 points higher.
Yes. Okay. I would say I'm a 6. My wife's a 9.
Whoa.
You're a 6. Your wife is a 9. First of all, congratulations.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah.
I hear that a lot.
Second of all, let's see how you feel about this. There's a story called Men Reveal the Struggle of being married or dating a ridiculously attractive woman. It's hard as a guy to be dating or married to a ridiculously attractive woman. Primarily, a lot of these stories here, a lot of these people that give input, say it's because people are constantly hitting on their significant other. Do you experience that?
Yes.
Okay. Where does that generally happen?
I'm a part-time firefighter, so it happens sometimes at my job.
Okay.
Even if we're, pre-COVID when we were out, sometimes I'll even test my wife, like go to the bar, see if you can get a drink.
Right. Just for being good looking.
F for two.
Does she experience this? Because it says here, one guy said, everywhere we went, she was approached by men. If we were in a club or a bar, guys would almost line up to take their shot with her. Although I'll say I was the benefactor of many free drinks that floated our way. Right there. You're almost affirming that this is true.
That is true. That is true.
Okay. Does it bother you? Does it make you jealous? Or is it part of the territory?
And in the very beginning, it kind of bothered me, but now I really don't care.
How long have you been married?
9 years.
Oh, you're fine.
Yeah, you're locked in.
You're the one that's going home with her, so you win.
At least you hope so.
For now.
Yeah. Keep your fingers crossed. She keeps wanting to go out. You're like, I don't know if I want to take you out and be seen.
Put the sweater on.
I might be coming back here by myself. Hi, Corey.
Hey, what's going on?
Are you have a wife who's significantly better looking?
Oh, absolutely. She's hot as hell.
Okay. Ooh, cool. What are you, Corey?
Yeah, well, I have a mustache, so by default, I get knocked down a few, so maybe 5 or 6.
Okay.
Oh,
the mustache brings you down.
Oh.
Okay. All right. And what is she?
9 or 10 for sure.
Wow. Wow. So
she does not have a mustache, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
If she had a mustache, would that bring her down to about an 8?
No. I think mustaches are great.
Yeah, there you go. How'd you get her, Corey? How'd you pull that off? How'd you manage to put that together?
I don't know. I think probably just because I have a bunch of tattoos and she's into tattoos.
Well, there you go.
That's it. You got to have something in common.
Like the guy on the Harry Styles guy. He's got the 33 tattoo on his forehead.
Yeah, the Harry Styles looking criminal.
Right.
He's got a lot going against him, though.
He probably kills it with the ladies. Thank you, Corey. We appreciate it. Also, Whip, by the way, I got a text over the weekend from our good friend and all-around handsome newsman, Ben Bradley.
Yeah.
Over there at the Niner. Hey, let me know when Whip takes time off. I want to fill in again.
What?
Oh,
he's jockeying for your job.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah, I'm not taking time off ever.
Yeah. But, you know, we have a rule around here, though. If Ben comes in, Violetta, no touching.
No, of course.
No touching.
That might not be a problem.
I just found out, Whip pointed it out as we got in this morning watching the news over there at the Niner, that I guess there's a law. It's like, it's a law. Is it just an Illinois law or is it a federal law?
He'll have to clear that up for us.
All right, you're not allowed to touch reporters.
That's right.
Now, give me the whole lead-in. What's that sound like?
Yeah, the whole
there we
thing.
Go.
Did you take a bribe?
Why are one company's red light cameras still clicking in Cook County?
Please don't touch me.
We're done.
Don't ever touch a reporter. Okay.
Despite multiple federal indictments, Ben Bradley is asking questions. WGN investigates tonight at 9.
All right, don't ever touch a reporter.
Ever.
Let's check on that. Let's go live to the Bradley home where I just had his wife Molly wake him up. Hi, Ben.
She came and woke me up. I was all excited. Then she's like, Ferguson wants you.
Yeah, there you go.
So
did she shake you awake and did you use that line? Don't ever touch me.
She's allowed
to. She's the only one allowed to touch me.
You know, I take a lot of grief and crap from you in the afternoon because I'll send you a text and you're like, I'm working. I'm on the news. Thanks for watching. Can you drag your ass out of bed and maybe listen to the radio show once in a while?
You got it.
My God.
But only by 7:45.
All right. Well, what's the deal with the don't touch a reporter line? What is that, a law? You can't touch reporters?
Well, it just fumbled. It kind of just tumbled out of my mouth.
All
you
right.
know, we were at a village board meeting in Crestwood attempting to, as my friend Chuck Gowdy calls it, conduct an unscheduled interview with the mayor who's accused of taking bribes.
I got you. All right.
You ambushed him.
All right.
Please.
He conducted an unscheduled interview.
That's a crass way to put it.
Yeah.
It's an unscheduled interview.
Okay. So you show up, and who's laying paws on you?
Well, so what was funny was we show up, and one of the trustees goes, ooh, Ben Bradley for Channel 9. We've never had a TV crew at our meeting before. This is exciting.
Oh, wow.
And I kind of said, we'll see if you feel that way in a minute.
Uh-huh. Right, wait till I ask this first question.
Yeah, and so it's Crestwood, Mayor Lou Presta, and they have a rather extensive red light camera system that's been clipping motorists for thousands and thousands of dollars, despite the fact he's accused of taking a bribe to get the system in place.
Uh-huh.
And so when we asked him about it, he immediately realized we were not there to do a story on the, winning the Neighborhood Beautification Award.
Gotcha.
And his village manager tried to physically intervene. And I wasn't being a tough guy. There's no doubt he could kick my butt. I was just attempting to offer free public relations advice, which is, this looks so much worse for you
right.
when you turn it in physically.
Right, into an altercation.
Well.
All right. It
pound camera the guy's rolling with.
It tumbled out of your mouth, then it was just instinct to say never touch a reporter. Feel like a touch an anchorman all you want. But keep your hands off the reporters. Is that
he obviously
it?
Hadn't seen Anchorman.
Yeah.
Don't touch the hair. There are rules for this.
That is true.
Well, during those live reports, I feel like people do get close. Like even
right.
I think one of your buddies over there, Channel 9, got licked, right? Dan Ponce?
Yeah, Dan Ponce at Lollapalooza got licked on the cheek by a girl.
Remember the good old days pre-COVID when you could run around licking anchor people and reporters and nobody said anything? But now...
Right. And a good rule of thumb, those who are willing to do it are not the ones who want to do it.
I gotcha.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha. All right. So when does this altercation, this don't you ever touch a reporter ever thing air? When does that happen?
Tonight at 9 on Channel 9.
I'll be asleep.
Piece.
Can you run it earlier?
We'll put it out there with the blue plate special for you. The Old Country Buffet.
You're on at 4? Just play it then. No?
We're attempting to build an audience, Eric.
All right. And then secondly, I wanted to thank you for the following, okay?
Okay.
All right. Real quickly. I mean, this happened last week.
Eric, it's Ben.
just calling to wish you a very happy birthday. Although, as I was sitting through your very boring and unimaginative voicemail message, it occurred to me that people probably don't leave voicemail messages anymore. Am I showing my age by actually leaving a message on your voicemail? I guess I'm supposed to text. I don't know. Texting kind of seems lazy. I'm actually talking in your voicemail and wishing you a happy birthday. You can hear the enthusiasm in my voice, the appreciation I have for our friendship. Oh, I didn't get you anything.
There you go. There you go.
That's hilarious.
There you go. It only took me 3 days to realize I hadn't listened to that.
And also, for the record, I think I left it the day after your birthday.
That's okay. Hey, you left it.
But it was lovely. Now, all right.
Yeah.
Yes?
No, now you don't even have to listen to voicemails. You know, when you open up your voicemail on your iPhone, it just you don't even have to listen
to
that.
But it misinterpreted, Ben. Yeah.
Put forth a token amount of effort.
Just like you do when you have all your unscheduled interviews. We'll be watching that tonight. All right, go back to bed.
You and I have a decade of friendship based on a token amount of effort. It's perfect.
Wow. That's actually true.
Good. Well, congratulations, you guys.
Yeah. We always do that. We should hook up for a drink, and we really only hook up for drinks when we bump into each other at the bar. Yeah. We need to do that more. Bring Gowdy, too, okay?
Agreed.
All right.
I'll bring him. It'll be unscheduled.
All right, perfect. There it is. Our good friend, Ben Bradley, over there at the Niner.
Don't touch me.
Don't touch reporters. Numbers. It's a numbers game now, and the numbers have been updated. In a new survey, the ideal number of previous partners is now what? Followed by, the survey also found that this number of partners is a complete turnoff. That's the turnoff, the threshold. Where you go, all right, now you've gone too far. Like, for example, Violetta, what do you think is the ideal number?
Ideal number.
There you go. Okay.
I would say like 5.
All right, and what do you think is the threshold number?
10.
Whip.
Those are good answers, so I'll just go with like 4 and 9 then.
Okay, well, this is going to get interesting.
Oh no.
What is the threshold number, Jeffrey? Go, that's too many. Jeff?
Yes, is it 7?
7, no. It is significantly higher.
Oh.
Significantly higher?
All right. Hey, Joe, tell them what the threshold number of partners is.
18.
There we go. 18. 18.
All right.
Someone throws a 17 at you, you're like, all right.
Oh, 18,
you're like, all right, now it's too much.
Wow, that's a lot of experience.
Yeah. 18, how you feel about that, Joe? Does that number feel high to you or about right?
Seems a little high.
Seems a little bit high.
Yeah.
What do we have for Joe?
You've won a $100 gift certificate to Beatrix, a Let Us Entertain You restaurant. All of your Beatrix favorites available for patio dining, carryout, and delivery.
Survey found that 18 or more was the number one turnoff threshold of partners, 73% agreeing to that. That's the warning sign number, they say.
Okay.
That someone may be difficult to please. Just in life.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
In other ways, maybe.
Right.
I don't know.
Aww.
That being said, now that you know where the numbers are falling, I told you they're going up. What do you think the ideal number is right now? The number you go, all right, I can live with that. That seems reasonable.
7?
Yeah, I'll go with 9 then, the same.
13.
Oh.
Ideal?
Ideal.
Oh, my gosh. I thought you wanted your number to be smaller so that, you know, people don't think you're
nobody wants their number to
around.
Be smaller, I guess.
13.
13.
But as a girl, when you're telling your boyfriend or a guy the number, I think you feel judged if it's too high.
Well, it's interesting you say that because 67% of women lie.
Yeah.
Only 13% of men lie.
Uh-huh.
So the number he's telling you is likely pretty accurate. We all know the number you're telling him isn't even close.
Yeah. No.
Isn't even close. So we got here this morning, and we were getting ready to go, and Kelly Clarkson's Stronger played, and Violetta says, oh, this song takes me back.
Yeah.
And you think, what's this going to be like? Some kind of breakup or some special family moment or whatever. She's like, no, this is the flat tire I got on Belmont. Reminds me of my flat tire on Belmont every time I hear it.
It was my first flat tire.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, I got a lot more after that.
There you go. While you drive around here, that happens.
Yeah.
So you hear the song and you think of a flat tire on Belmont.
Always. I was headed eastbound on Belmont jamming to Kelly Clarkson.
Uh-huh.
And I was about to make a right-hand turn on Clybourne.
Uh-huh.
And there's a bus stop right there. And there was a puddle and a pothole. And I didn't want to wet anyone with the water, so I kind of hit the
don't
pothole.
Don't want to wet them.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So.
No. Driving through a puddle, that's always a bad idea.
Isn't that amazing? Listen to the detail that comes back.
Yeah.
And she remembers the song that was playing. So it made me wonder, and this could be a long shot, but 312-233-1019. Most people remember, a song when they were married or their first breakup. What song reminds you of something completely random?
Okay.
Like, you hear the song, you're like, oh, yeah, the flat tire of 97 on Belmont. And I really slammed that pothole.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hit that thing full speed. Kelly Clarkson was jamming.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 2010.
Yeah.
312-233-1019, the random song that makes you think of a random moment. Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
Hi. How are you? What does U2's Beautiful Day make you think of?
Oh, 19 years ago, I met my husband, and I won $1,000 on the mix.
What?
And I used that money, and on our third date, we went skydiving together.
Oh, wow.
So I stepped out of our plane. It was awesome. It was perfect.
Was the song you two played when you won the money or went skydiving?
And I used the money to do part of the money, and it's $250 to go skydiving. So.
Yeah, but the song, Wendy, the song, where did that come into play?
Song. So even when I jumped out of the plane, that was playing in my head.
Oh, okay. So when you jump out of an airplane, this song is spinning around in your head.
Wow. What a story.
See, that'll never happen to me because I'm never jumping out of an airplane.
Never?
Exactly.
Never.
Unless you have to.
No, even then. Right into the side of a mountain.
Just rather go down with. Yeah. Why go down without the plane? We can go down with it.
Yep. No chance. Right now, top three things trending on Twitter. You ready, Violetta?
Yes.
Okay. Number three.
9-year-old Zoe Oli and her mom, Ovana, are on a mission to empower young girls with their company called Beautiful Curly Me. Zoe created a line of black dolls with curls and braids, hair care products, and authored two books, all while still going to school, and she hopes to inspire a new generation to feel comfortable in their skin.
Oh, that's cool.
I know, it's really cool.
Trending on Twitter, number two.
Wayne's World is reuniting for the Super Bowl on Super Bowl Sunday. They're going to be in an Uber Eats commercial. The popular Saturday Night Live characters are all dressed up in a teaser that's making its way around online. So everyone's excited.
Wayne is 70. Garth is 80 now.
Exactly.
But with makeup, they look exactly the same.
And trending on Twitter, number one.
Okay, so Angelina Jolie graces the cover of British Vogue, and she looks stunning, and that's great. But the real cool story...
Do you get that one whipped? Do you get British Vogue, or do you get...
I get Irish Vogue.
Italian. You get Irish Vogue.
Irish Vogue. It's very, very...
An Irishman drinking beer on the front.
It's all redheads.
Oh,
that's it.
That's great.
All the time. Guys,
that's
guys,
great.
Guys.
Yeah. Back to you.
The cool story here is that she is selling a painting that was painted by Winston Churchill and then gifted to Franklin Roosevelt. Churchill painted...
How did she get her hands on it?
I know, right?
She was an ambassador to something, wasn't
Still,
she?
I mean, come on.
I agree. Celebrities, they know people.
Okay. Churchill painted the 12th century Moroccan mosque at sunset at the 1934 Casablanca conference, where he then gifted it to Roosevelt. And Angelina and Brad Pitt had shared a very grand art collection, I guess. And now she's selling this historical piece for an estimated $2.1 million to $3.4 million.
Unbelievable. Drama, 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 as they say in Chicago. Last night, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I somehow missed it.
I'm surprised at you.
I saw a headline that said Matt chastised the women for bullying. Am I stealing something there?
No, that was the right off the bat. He was into chastise mode,
good.
Because as you brought up last week, somebody there had been a dancer and somebody called her a hooker, or actually more specifically a hoe.
Just called her a hoe.
And then that was like, oh, man, it's becoming a toxic place.
Yeah. Well, you got to step in then if you're Matt.
So, Matt,
listen, if any of you think you're getting in a hot tub with me,
right,
it's not happening until you start being nice to each other and then nice to me.
Yeah, Matt looked seriously stressed out about what to do about this. He had to put a stop to the toxicity.
Toxicity.
You brought that word in. Toxicity. All right, are you ready with 30 seconds worth of other words?
Should I since I said toxic a couple times, I'm going to change that to...
I can go toxic.
Unsafe.
Unsafe.
They used all these words.
All right, I gave Whip 30 seconds to cram 2 hours of Bachelor Hell and down into 30 seconds so that none of us have to watch it, yet we figure out exactly what's going on, and he's alluded to the fact that something dramatic happened. I think I didn't see it, but my guess is the queen's a goner. Are you ready to find out? Okay, and go.
Matt tells Queen Victoria she's making it feel unsafe for the other girls because she called Ryan a hoe. She says it was out of context, but he said he's confused about what possible context there could have been for that. So Queen Victoria is bawling, hyperventilating, crying, says she's two steps from going home because of all the BS, and she's the only one in the entire house with a working brain. But she says if she gets sent home, she'll literally die. Right. Then he sends her home,
oh,
but
no.
She's not dead. She's not done either. She says, Katie, over me, are you blind? Katie is disgusting. We've known that for weeks now. The fact he chose Katie over me, blah.
Thanks for listening to the Eric in the Morning podcast. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe so you don't miss a moment of Eric in the Morning on 101.9 The Mix Chicago.